Continuing our series on summer books, may we suggest today Children of Blood and Bone. But don't take our word for it. Listen to Jimmy Fallon's announcement of his audience vote for favorite summer book.
The winning book that you voted for is Children of Blood and Bone.
Yeah!
The young adult novel Children of Blood and Bone takes place in the all-black mythical kingdom of Orisha. Maybe a nod to the divine spirits the Yoruba legend says were brought to the New World by slave ships. In this Orisha, magic has been banned. The magi who wielded it were killed by order of the king. Those who survived are second-class citizens called maggots. Zaylee, the daughter of a magi, and Amari, the daughter of the king, are thrown together to try to bring magic back. The book is already on its way to the big screen, and author Tomi Adeyemi is just turning 25 tomorrow. Tomi, when you heard Fallon, what did you think?
It was so exciting, and the week where the voting was taking place was so stressful because I could see it. But I think the most fun part about it, like, I just kept getting all these messages from readers, and they were like, just voted, and they would send me the percentages and be like, we're winning. And it was just this really cool sense of unity, like just that we. So many people kept saying, we're doing it. Come on, guys.
Well, what do you think they mean by we? And what are you hearing the book means to them?
I think one we is just when you're writing for young adults, they take this seriously.
Right.
And the stories they love, they will defend those stories. So it's really an honor to write for such a passionate and engaged group. And then I think the other part is being black and doing something to really show black people that they can be the heroes, that they can ride the giant lion, that they can have the epic adventure and love story. Mm. There's a collective we in that identity, because when, you know, when one black person wins, we feel like we all win because we know what we're fighting against.
Well, and you know, with that in mind, I thought, well, maybe one of your inspirations might have been Black Panther, the hugely successful film. But I'm reading that you were inspired to write this after The Hunger Games. So this was the movie adaptation, maybe like 2011.
Yeah. So my mission as a writer started after The Hunger Games.
Right.
After seeing the backlash against characters in the adaptation just because they were black, it was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to write something so good and so black that even racists have to see it.
People were saying things like Rue, the
yes.
little girl who, I don't think I'm giving anything away here.
Yeah.
But she meets an untimely end, and every people had fallen in love with her. She was a black actress, and people were saying, oh, why are they making good characters black? Now, the author,
yeah.
Susan Collins, says, no, she was always black.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and that's the funny thing. There's always an intense backlash when a character that people, that at least was historically white, is played by an actress of color. But in this case, they're explicitly black on the page, yet a lot of people were like, oh, why'd they make all the good characters black?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't sad when Rue died because she was black. And these were like direct quotes being said. They weren't people hiding with anonymous like avatars, like it was their face.
Yeah.
It was their name. And I was just like, what? Yeah. You know, so part of it was the horror that people could feel this way, especially about fictional characters. But the other part was that they didn't feel the need to hide. And that was also equally scary. Obviously, I'd encountered racism in my life, but it had been the one-off events, and a lot of times it had been hidden. They'll say, oh, I don't think she deserved to get into that school, but to my face they'll say congrats.
Mm-hmm.
But this was people saying horrible things and not feeling any shame or any need to hide, and that was really scary back then. And of course it's only gotten worse now.
So here's what I have been dying to ask you. So you have this complete black culture. Every character is black with different skin colors. And this is, of course, a narrative that runs throughout black history.
Yeah.
You know, what skin color means.
Yeah.
And so you have characters that are evil characters. That king comes to mind.
Yeah.
You've said, and others have read this as a sort of Black Lives Matter loosely cast in some fantasy land. But how can that be if, in fact, they're all black characters?
Yeah. So that's the instant conundrum I created for myself, which you picked up on. I wanted to write a story about black people, and I wanted to write a story about the black experience. And the black experience has a lot to do with black pain, and that has a lot to do with white people. But I wanted to write a story with all black people. So I'm already coming up against myself in doing that. And I also wanted to talk about colorism, but I wanted to also not perpetuate all the things I see often in media because of colorism, which is an elevation of light-skinned black people over dark-skinned black people. Mm-hmm. And so it's complicated. And I won't even go as far as to say that I did it perfectly, because inherently the things I wanted to do were directly in opposition of each other. But I was okay with everything not coming together perfectly, because it's like the story has to come first. And so what had to be perfect to me was the story.
Mm. Well, here's a thought. I'm white and I'm reading it and I know that they're of color. But as the book goes along, for instance, there's a princess who stumbles into this adventure that your main characters are going on. She's the typical damsel in distress when we first meet her. I started to see her as a spoiled, white, blonde princess.
Yeah. It's actually pretty funny that you say that. It is easy to start whitewashing because that's what we're used to. We're still used to thousands of years of literature with just straight white people.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I had to be deliberate about describing the tones and describing them again and again, because your mind starts to just automatically do what it's been more than trained to do.
Yeah. Look, it's been called the latest and applauded entry into the works of Afrofuturism, storytelling that's both the past and futuristic and fantasy.
Yeah.
There were so many details that, you know, screaming metaphor, the magi, who are called the maggots, can't hide because they have white hair.
Yeah.
You know, African-Americans cannot hide.
Yes.
That they are black. I mean, were there other things like that that you were trying to?
Oh, definitely. I was very heavy-handed. And I think part of that comes from being an English major and always being very frustrated when they were like, pull a thesis out of these weak metaphors. And I'm like, this isn't what the author intended. So for me, it's very clear to see what I intended. Like, maggot is very similar to a slur used against black people. Having stark white hair, yeah, like, you're not going to hide that in a room. A black person can never hide that they're black in a room.
You know, it's interesting. Van Newkirk writes in The Atlantic, the world that you have built, because you have to build a whole world, not just tell the story, follows closely on a lot of the major fantasy stories like The Hunger Games. There's usually all white characters, or mostly white characters, but they're facing slavery, eugenics, police states.
Yes.
Things that African-American communities have long faced.
Yes, and that's the point. Science fiction stories and fantasy stories are stories of oppression. They always oppress a marginalized group. But the vast majority of these stories are written by people who aren't actually marginalized in our current society. So there's this sort of like, oh, what if there was dragons? Oh, and racism. You know, like it's this fantastical element when the things that are described in these horrible books are happening to people all across the world and all across America every single day.
Angie Thomas, the author, the fabulous author of the YA book, The Hate U Give, made a comment about that. Like, you know, really? What kind of problems are you facing?
Yeah. You know, I was talking to someone today and I was like, or she goes, I feel like people don't often talk about your experience as a black woman while writing this. And I'm like, yes. And that experience means that I will be worried about missing my deadline. And I'm also worried about being shot by the police and being killed and not finishing the series at all. And it's not they're not outlandish fears. You know, it's very hard to live like that. And it's even harder to fight your way through that. But that's kind of what this book allowed me to do, because I was in that place before I started writing, even while I started writing.
Well, and as I was reading it, I mean, the scenes of battle and gore and distress are like way over the top. I mean, they're just hugely, you know, stadiums that fill with blood as people battle it out. But again, this idea of Afrofuturism, as much as they were futuristic, they were not at all. I mean, that's what happened with slave ships. And people
were
lynched.
That's the funny thing. Yeah. People, when it first came out, I kept getting a lot, oh, it's so violent, it's so violent. And I was like, you know, every piece of conflict in this is based off of things that are happening today or things that have happened to black people as recently as 30 years ago, right? That's part of the reason I put an author's note at the back. I knew if I didn't explicitly stay within the text of the book that, hey, all of this is based off things that are happening to real black people today, that it would fly over a lot of people's heads. And they'd be like, oh, I felt so bad for Zaylee in chapter one, but they won't feel bad for the actual girl it happened to in Florida. You know? So it was very important for me to make it this big adventure, but to make all of it tied to reality so that people could, when they left the book, hopefully think about our world differently and be spurred to do something about it.
That's YA author turning 25, Tomi Adeyemi. Her book is Children of Blood and Bone. Tomi, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Oh, and she sold the movie rights to her bestseller for 7 figures. Happy 25th birthday, Tomi. It's here and now.